What's going on, guys? Nick here, back with another podcast, the Week 3 Fantasy Football Podcast. Solo podcast this week. Nick Ercolano was actually at a wedding, and we weren't going to do one this week, but I did a little bit of research, obviously, for DFS. This is going to be slightly tailored towards DFS, but if a guy's a good DFS play, then you know what? He's a good play normally, and I will be talking about some guys and some defenses, actually. New segment. We're going to be talking about some defenses you guys can stream because I get that question a lot. So three parts to this. We're going to be looking at wide receiver cornerback matchups. We're going to be looking at two guys that maybe the matchup seems more difficult than it is. Some guys that it is difficult. Some guys that it's really easy for. We're going to be talking about those defenses streaming wise. And then some situations. We'll talk about am I concerned about the team or about the specific player. So we're going to start with the wide receiver cornerback matchups, and the number one matchup of the week, the guy that in FanDuel you should probably have 100% of, in DraftKings, I mean in tournaments I'm probably going to go like 75%, he'll probably be in my cash game lineup, it's AJ Green. The team's been bad. I mean, we know this going in. He still has an 88 grade for Pro Football Focus, which is a very good grade. 52% advantage, that's the number one on the week, like I said. He's second in yards per route run, dating back to last season. He gets Demaryius Randle, who's got a 36.3 grade, that's just putrid. Third most yards per route run given up, and he's got actually a 34.7 coverage grade. That's bad. I know some of you don't know what that means, but that's really, really bad. Graded out of 100, that's extremely poor. I believe under 55 or so is poor. He's allowing 18.3 yards per reception. There is a chance, an outside chance, but a chance that they put their second round pick, Kevin King, on AJ Green, but who has been solid this season. I believe he only played like 5 or 6 snaps in week one. Then last week he played something like 45, 46 snaps, did really well. I don't think it matters. If he sees Randle, he's going to torch him. This was the matchup we talked about last week with Julio Jones, and we were right. Although Julio didn't have a monster game, it was because they just didn't throw the ball. You know, they threw the ball like 11 times in the second half. That's not going to lead to a monster performance. Julio Jones could have had 300 if that game was close. I'm not saying he would have, but if that game was close and it was a shootout, as in back and forth, and they needed to keep throwing the ball, he could have gone over 300 yards. He was just dominating, but they just didn't need him to. They didn't throw him the ball because they could have run it the entire second half. AJ Green, that's not going to happen. Okay, I believe this game's in Lambeau. The Packers are probably going to stomp the Bengals. But if this game is remotely close, we all know the Bengals aren't going to just like win this game outright, destroying the Packers. So they're not going to be able to run the ball, and they haven't even been that good running the ball. New offensive coordinator was the quarterback coach. He went run heavy when he was with the Dolphins, when he was the offensive coordinator there. I believe he was the offensive coordinator there a few years ago. But he's the quarterback coach. And AJ Green complained, and then they fired the OC. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to feed AJ. So if you guys are trading right now, relating it back to season long, I'm all in trading for AJ Green. And he's so cheap right now. You can get him for nothing. People are freaking out. I think he's going to go berserk in this matchup. So he is my number one overall wide receiver cornerback matchup. Because, I mean, obviously he's Pro Football Focuses as well, but when you look at the list, sometimes it's just metric-based, and it's not, oh, I need to start this guy. No, this guy on top of the list, you got to start him everywhere. Second guy I want to talk about, who has a very plus matchup, is Devin Funchess. Not someone you need to in like a 10-team league go out and start. If you're in like a 14-team league, I think he's a good start in the flex. Even in a 12, like he might be a good start in the flex. I'm starting him on DraftKings in a few spots, probably not cash. But he's only 4,200. I'll talk about a different guy you could start in cash. But 4,200, listen, they gave up. He's playing the Saints, and this is road Saints. This isn't even home Saints. So their defense is bad. Past three seasons, it's been just pathetic. 346 and 3 touchdowns to Bradford, and then 447 and 3 touchdowns to Brady. Olsen's out, and Funchess is actually a converted tight end. So I see his red zone market share. Not even just overall targets, his market share in the red zone increasing. His targets overall will increase. We saw last week when Olsen was out, he saw an increase in targets. And he gets Devonta Harris, who has a 33.9 coverage grade. That's worse than Randall is. Second to last in the league. I don't remember exactly who's last. But a 26 implied team total. Home versus the Saints, they're -5.5, so they're expected to win this game. I mean, this guy's allowing a 158.3 passer rating, a perfect passer rating when you're targeting this guy. Now, obviously, Kelvin Benjamin has a plus matchup because, like, everyone who plays the Saints has a plus matchup. But I bring up Funchess just because he's probably available in a good amount of leagues. He's cheap on DFS, and he's just a guy that he's got just as much of a chance of going off as Kelvin Benjamin does. Maybe Benjamin has more touchdown equity, but I really think Funch is a superior play in DFS. So that's why he makes the list. And although I will talk about Cam Newton in the last segment, I do still think that this is a great spot for Funchess. Next guy is Keenan Allen. And common misconception is that he will be going up against their shutdown. Not even shutdown, but Marcus Peters, their best corner. He will not be. Peters does not follow into the slot. He will be seeing Philip Gaines, because we know Keenan Allen is a slot receiver. He'll be seeing Philip Gaines' 7th lowest coverage grade on the season, 8th highest yards per route run allowed, or excuse me, 8th highest quarterback rating allowed. I'm sure it's a lot of yards per route run, but 8th highest quarterback rating allowed when covering in the slot. Keenan Allen's going to smash in this spot. I do not know 100% for if if Marcus Peters will be on Travis Benjamin or Tyrell Williams. If I figure that out and it is not Tyrell Williams, like if Tyrell Williams faces the other cornerback, don't remember who that is. I think Mitchell's the guy, and he's garbage too. So if Tyrell Williams gets Mitchell treatment, then I want part of him in DFS too. He's only like 4-7, something like that. But Keenan Allen is a great play in season long and DFS. He's going to get targeted a ton, not going to see any Peters matchups, which is absolutely great. So great matchup for him. Some guys that don't really have that good of a matchup. Questionable is Alshon Jeffrey. This is entirely dependent upon Janoris Jenkins if he's playing. I will say that that also depends on Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz. So let's say that Janoris Jenkins doesn't play. That's an upgrade to Carson Wentz and to Alshon Jeffrey. I think that stack is really well in DFS, but in season long, you pretty much have to start Alshon at that point. But it also is a slight downgrade to Ertz. We know that the Giants give it up to tight ends. They just have no idea how to cover a tight end. So if Alshon's open all the time, there will be less targets to Ertz. Not a lot less. I still think he's a phenomenal play, and you're obviously playing him in season long. But in DFS, it's a slight downgrade. But if Jenkins plays, he's likely going to shut down Alshon Jeffrey, which means Ertz is going to be heavily targeted. That will bump my ownership up dramatically in Ertz if Janoris Jenkins does play, but it also decreases Carson Wentz. So if you're looking at this from a season-long standpoint, Wentz is a starter for some people, but usually he's like a quarterback two. I don't keep quarterback twos, but maybe he could be a streaming option. He's a solid streaming option if Jenkins doesn't play, but if he does, I feel like there are more options, although I will say they love to throw the ball, the Eagles do, so he's going to be among the league leader in pass attempts. So it's something to think about, but obviously just watch Janoris Jenkins news. Probably Saturday we'll learn a lot more, but obviously on Sunday when they release the inactives. Next is Mike Evans, -16% advantage. And also, before I get into Mike Evans, all these stats that I'm using, I use a little bit of Football Outsiders, but they're almost all coming from Pro Football Focus. If you guys do want access to these, obviously I can't show you everything, and there are a lot of things that they have, a lot of different metrics. We have a discount code in the description if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to this on iTunes, go to fantasyfootballadvice.com or thefantasyfootballadvice.com or Fantasy Football Advice YouTube channel. Click on the most recent video and go to the description there. There's a discount code as well as a link. You have to use the link and then the code, because then you'll be paying full price for it. It's, I believe, 12.5% off of Edge and Elite. All of the stats I'm showing you are from Edge, except some of them do come from Elite when you look at their signature stats. But the cornerback matchup chart, advantage grades, all those things come in Edge. Elite's more for DFS. I highly recommend it if you play DFS, but a lot of these stats do just come from the edge version. So getting back into it, Mike Evans, he's going to see Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes is going to follow him throughout the entire field. It's not going to be one of those, oh, go to the left, go to the right, because he only plays one side. No, Rhodes is going to shadow him. He pretty much locked down Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown. Brown's numbers were pretty bad last week, and most of that actually came when Rhodes went out with an injury to end the game. I mean, he was shut down by Rhodes, and Rhodes is actually better against bigger-bodied receivers. He's held Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown to 7 receptions on 12 targets for 86 yards and no touchdowns, both of them. So I'm not going to say he's going to shut down Mike Evans because he's a freak, but I'm going to say that you should temper your expectations, and I would honestly probably fade him in DFS. This also, you look at the team total, it's 19.5 implied team total. Not the best there. 14th most cover snaps per reception, 21.5, so he plays 21.5 snaps on average before he allows a reception. That's just insane. The 9th lowest quarterback rating when targeted. It's going to be tough as a Mike Evans owner to have him this week. But what's not going to be tough is a DeSean Jackson owner, because they're going to have to throw the ball somewhere. Now, that'll go to running backs, it'll go to tight ends, but I think a lot's going to go to DeSean Jackson. He matches up with Trey Waynes. Pro Football Focus's 89th coverage grade among 104 qualifiers. Just as bad last season. That's not like a small sample stat. He's 89th out of 104. And he's going to give it up deep. He's going to also do pass interferences. He gets a lot of those. So I'm not like fading Winston or anything. I think Winston will be fine. I'm not like going out of my way to start him, and I'm probably not starting him in DFS. But DeSean Jackson is honestly a good play. If you want to throw him in your flex and just... because that's what I like doing with my flex. Whoa. That's what I like doing with my flex spot, is not just putting out a guy that's going to get 5 for 50. It's putting out a guy, you know what, could he dud? Yeah, but I don't even really think Deshaun's going to dud. But I like having that guy that could just go berserk. I usually save my safe guy for my wide receiver too, and then I just like having a guy that could go berserk in that flex spot. So I think Deshaun's a really good flex play this week. Golden Tate, another guy. It's not a great matchup on paper. Everyone likes to trash Poole. I get it, but he actually grades out really well for Pro Football Focus. However, he allows the 15th, he's 15th worst in cover snaps per reception. He's allowed 10 receptions on 12 or 13 targets and a high quarterback grade. So he has a good grade, but teams seem to be picking on him. A lot of that's probably Trufant, who's likely going to be matched up on Marvin Jones, but he's not going to shadow him because you don't really have to shadow Marvin Jones. He would shadow him if it was like, I don't know, if like Calvin Johnson was still on the team, he'd probably shadow. But I don't expect him to shadow Jones, so Jones will get it some, and Galladay will get a little bit of Trufant, but it's not going to be consistent. But Poole is going to be on Golden Tate, and I just think that Golden Tate's going to be heavily targeted in this game because, like I said, did I say? I guess I probably haven't said yet. I think this game's likely going to shoot out. I think that there's no way that the Lions are just going to steamroll the Falcons. You know, the Falcons are going to put up points. And there's no way the Lions can just run the ball, because, I mean, they haven't been, like, great. They've been fine at running the ball, but they're not just going to run the ball a ton, control the clock, stop the Falcons on defense a ton, keep running the ball. Like, that's not going to happen. What's likely going to happen is maybe they try that, but maybe they score first, and the Falcons are going to come out, and they're going to score points. And I really, really hope Stafford starts in that hurry-up, because I'm probably going to have a lot of Stafford Golden Tate stacks. If they start with the hurry-up offense and this game turns into a shootout, then Golden Tate's just going to smash his value. Even at 6.9K in DraftKings, I think that's definitely playable. I would definitely stack him with Stafford if you are going to do that. I'm fine playing a naked Stafford, especially in cash games. That's probably what I'm going to do as my quarterback. But I think Stafford's a good spot start this week if you're streaming. I think Golden Tate is definitely worth the start, especially in PPR leagues. Even in standard leagues, I'd go with the start there. Last guy we're going to talk about the wide receiver position is Rishard Matthews. I want to bring him up just because you see the Seahawks and you say, nope. But he's fine in the flex. We know Corey Davis isn't going to play. He's got that same hamstring injury he suffered in the preseason. We know Decker hasn't been that great. So if you're desperate, I mean, he's a good saving option, 4,200 on DraftKings, but even in season long, like if you're desperate, throw him out there because the Seahawks have been not as good as people think against the pass. We'll say that. So they're going to have to throw to someone. I don't know at this point, DeMarco Murray. Obviously, Derrick Henry is going to be a phenomenal play if DeMarco's out. But no matter what that situation is, I still think Rishard Matthews is worth a spot start. Now we're going to get into defenses. And I brought up three of them. They're at three different price points in DraftKings. And they're at three different kind of are they on team points, I guess, in season long. Ravens are likely on every team. But I just want to tell you guys if they're out there in any of your leagues, you need to drop pretty much whoever you have to pick them up. They get a technically a road matchup, I guess. It's Ravens at Jags, but it's in London, which really, if you also think about it, it's kind of a home game for the Jaguars. Blake Bortles has played the most games of any quarterback in the league in London, so technically a home game there, but actually the Jaguars have the worst home field advantage in football. So not even really an away game, to be completely honest, for the Ravens. Eight interceptions, Tevin? 10 total turnovers in their two games, eight sacks. I mean, that's just what you're looking for in a defense. Now they play Blake Bortles, turnover machine. Could he score some garbage time points? Yeah, but you're not starting Blake Bortles anywhere. I'm not starting Earns. I'm not starting Marquise Lee. I'm avoiding Fournette if I can. Like, I'm not starting any of these guys in the game entirely. I mean, I'm avoiding it. I did play the Wednesday or the Thursday to Monday slate in DraftKings, so I do have. I went pretty heavy in the Thursday game, which is going to be very profitable for me. But I have a little bit of Javorius Allen, so I think that's like the only guy you can really play is Javorius Allen, and I guess the defenses. But definitely the Ravens defense is an elite defense. I'm playing them even at 3.9K at 3K. And in a little bit more leagues in season long as the Eagles. Eagles have the 7th rated pass rush. They get the Giants at home, who have the 9th worst pass blocking offensive line. Their offensive line is horrible. Eagles have 8 sacks through 2 games. 2 road games, I may add. Now they're coming home where they were better last season. 13 points through 2 games is all the New York Giants can get. They've allowed the second most sacks in the league. I see that continuing. Eli's not getting out of the way of these sacks. He's falling down as soon as people are close. Odell's not 100%. I would say if he was 100%, I would downgrade this, but I don't even care. At 3K, they're the best play on the board for defense. And in season long, if maybe you missed out on the Ravens, you missed out on the Jaguars, you missed out on the Steelers, you missed out on like the Bucks, kind of like teams like that. I would even play the Eagles over the Bucks this week. But there are defenses you can play each week, and I do think that the Eagles are owned in a good amount of leagues. But if they're not owned, if neither of these guys are owned, I'm pretty sure the Titans are owned in almost every league. They're not like a prolific defense. They only have 4 sacks, three turnovers through 2 games. But they get the Seahawks, who have the 3rd worst pass blocking offensive line. And I'm not saying that the Titans have like a great pass rush, but they can get to the quarterback. And with this offensive line of the Seahawks, and with the very noticeable home road splits for them, they play much better at home, like most teams do, but it's very noticeable. Russell Wilson's home road splits on the road at the Titans, a team that's probably going to try and pound the rock, a team that I think has started. I mean, they've started slow in offense, but I think they're a good team. I think they can sack them, two, three, four times. Probably not four. You can probably get like 3 sacks, maybe a pick or a fumble recovery in a low scoring game. That's what you're hoping for with the Titans at 2,700 on DraftKings. Again, I much prefer the Ravens, I much prefer the Eagles, I much prefer like the Steelers, guys you've been able to stream. But if you're in like a 14-team league or you're in teams where people are just hoarding defenses, I think you can do a lot worse than starting the Titans this week. Last segment we're going to get to is a little bit of a game. Am I concerned? I've seen a lot of questions in the private chat that we have. Remember, if you want to be part of the private chat, go to the website. TheFantasyFootballAdvice.com tells you how to be part of that. But I've seen a lot of questions about all the people I'm going to talk about and all the situations I'm going to talk about, and it's tough. The first one is Cousins Prior. Are you concerned? Well, I mean, yeah, I'm concerned a little bit, but I'm not concerned yet. I'm not going to use the word concerned yet. until the end of this week. They play in the highest over-under game at 55 right now. That's a really high total. At home versus the Raiders. Pryor doesn't have like a dream matchup or anything, but he gets Garen Connolly, who's, I mean, he's not that good. The whole Raiders defense, I mean, besides Khalil Mack, I mean, it's not that good. They give it up a ton to tight ends, so definitely look at Jordan Reed. If Jordan Reed's active, I mean, that's a huge bump to Cousins, who's going to have a lot more weapons in this game. So I think if Reed's healthy and Cousins underperforms significantly in this game, then I'm concerned, then I'm looking on waivers to see who I can get. But I really do think Cousins is going to have a solid game here. Is he going to go off for like 304 touchdowns? Honestly, he hasn't looked that great, probably not. But can he get 275 and 2? I think he can. I think he can have a good game. I think Pryor can have a good game in this one. It's a, like I said, this is, I mean, the most likely game technically to shoot out. I still think that Lions versus the Falcons is my favorite game of the week, but this game has a lot of shootout potential. So if they can't get it going in this one, I'll change it to concern. But right now, I think we're going to be fine with these two, and I think they're good by low candidates. Although quarterbacks, I don't really trade quarterbacks that much. I'll just pick someone up. I'm not giving up anything for a quarterback. Next one is the Seahawks situation. Am I concerned with their slow start? And again, with that one, I'm going to say not yet. I'm not going to say that they do bad again this week. I'm going to change that to yes. I'm saying just not yet, okay? They seem to start slow every single year. Their defense is fine, but this is more tailored towards, am I concerned about Russell Wilson? Am I concerned about the run game or Doug Baldwin? I would say that the only running back I want on my team is Chris Carson. Third in elusiveness, fifth in yards per carry after contact, been solid in pass protection, 88.5 pass blocking efficiency. He's good, and we all knew that in preseason. He looked like the best running back. Lacy was a healthy scratch last week. Procise is just third downs, and Rawls I don't think is all that good. So I would have Carson. I wouldn't even roster any of the other ones. Maybe Procise and PPR, I guess you can do, but I'm not starting him ever. I'm probably not starting Carson this week, and I doubt any of you are in a situation where you have to. But bye weeks are coming up. Maybe he'll be a good spot start, but someone you don't need to rely on yet. It's just the offensive line is so bad. You know, that hurts. Like, if their offensive line was great, I don't think Wilson would be struggling as much as he is. I don't think Baldwin would be struggling as much as he is. It's concerning that they only put up, 12 points last week against the 49ers. But I'm not concerned yet because they always start slow. And if the O-line can pick it up, then they'll be fine. I just think, I believe in Russell Wilson's ability too much to, like, trade him away or to trade away Doug Baldwin. Because you know what? If they're stinking it up right now, Baldwin's going to be on the field a lot. And they're going to need to throw. And I don't, Jimmy Graham, okay, I'll say I'm concerned about Jimmy Graham. I don't think he's looked horrible, absolutely horrible. So if you want to trade Jimmy Graham, go for it. I'm not trading for Jimmy Graham. But I still do think that Wilson and Baldwin are good buy low guys, so I'm not overly concerned there. Someone that we will say yes to is Cam Newton. Now, last season, he was on my bust list. This season, he was on my bust list, so I'm not, like, shocked. But he's been so bad. PFF's quarterback rating, he's 20th behind Josh McCown, Jacoby Brissett, and Eli Manning. That's not very good. 24th in completion percentage, also 24th in adjusted completion percentage, so that adjusts for throwaways, spikes, batted balls, when you're hit as you throw, stuff like that. He's only got 11 carries for 30 yards, 2 passing touchdowns to 1 pick. That's the big thing. 11 carries for 30 yards through 2 games. I told you guys, he's not going to run the ball this year. They're not going to put him in that situation, especially when they have McCaffrey and Stewart. They're just not going to do it. So he's not going to have the rushing totals. And when you take that away, he's never going to have the passing totals. Even when he was having his MVP caliber season, the passing numbers just aren't there. He relies on the rushing totals to be fantasy relevant, and he's not going to get that. So I want nothing to do with Cam Newton. I mean, I haven't drafted him in any leagues in the past 2 years. I'm not trading for him. I don't want really much part of that offense besides, I would say, McCaffrey, Stewart and Standard, Funchess and DFS, but he's fine as like a bench guy. I'm probably not starting him in most matchups. Again, I say this week because this week is just the dream matchup at home against the Saints. But in a normal week, you're probably not starting Funchess. And Benjamin's just so up and down that I usually would just sell high after a great week from him, but definitely not someone I'm trading for. But just no, I just this question was purely around Cam Newton. Yes, I'm concerned. I want no part of him. Another guy I'm concerned about is DeMarco Murray. The injury, I mean, soft tissue injuries are not something you take lightly, and when you have a reoccurring one, that's huge. This is the same hamstring injury that he had in the preseason. He didn't practice Thursday. I'm recording this on Friday morning. I don't know, obviously, if he's practicing today, but if he doesn't practice today, that does not bode well for Sunday. And even if he does play Sunday, like if you're a DeMarco owner, you probably don't want him playing Sunday. It's really a lose-lose if you're a DeMarco owner. He goes out there Sunday, he's not going to be 100%, he's playing the Seahawks, who aren't as good as you think against the run, but they're good. And he looks slow, and he looks just bad. So if he goes out there with a minor hamstring injury, and he looks terrible, and he does terrible, then that's not what you want, because you probably are going to be forced to start him if he plays. Hopefully you don't have to, hopefully you have better options. But you might be, you might have to start him. And if you're like, okay, well, let's sit him. Okay, Derrick Henry is really good, and I watched the tape of last week's game. He looked so much better than DeMarco, and again, I attribute that a large portion to his hamstring injury, but DeMarco looks really, really slow, and Derrick Henry looks really, really good. So if he's out and Derrick Henry goes off again, I mean, I don't know how they don't split carries, and at that point, DeMarco is a bust. So I'm very concerned about that. I'm loving it because I have Derrick Henry and I believe 6 of 10 leagues, 5 or 6 of 10 leagues, something like that, and in my money league. So, I mean, I'm hoping DeMarco's out, but I don't, probably not a good thing. Another guy I actually didn't write down, I just kind of thought of, is Jordan Howard. He is a bust at this point, and we said in the chat, I mean, I posted everyone in the chat that I don't want any part of him once I saw the end of the preseason. It didn't look like a good situation. The line's not as good as it was previous years. There's going to be so many negative game scripts. You can't catch. Tariq Cohen's there. It's not a good situation. Now he's hurt. I'm unloading him. I mean, I don't have him anywhere, but I'm unloading him if I do have him. Last person we will talk about, Le'Veon Bell. Am I concerned? Not at all. Not even a little bit. I'm actually going to, after I record this, probably send a trade to whoever has Le'Veon Bell in my money league for Todd Gurley. Like I said, and like we've said on the podcast, like we will continue to say on the podcast, Todd Gurley's not good. Well, okay. He's fine, but he's not as good as his numbers suggest early in the season. It's all been matchup based, and we told you he's going to go off. He's going to go off these first few weeks, especially this week. What happened? He went off. Look at his matchups weeks 4 through 12, including the bye. They're brutal. If you can sell Todd Gurley for Le'Veon Bell, oh my God, you just committed robbery. But Le'Veon Bell, I watched the tape. He looks perfectly fine. He's doing the same stuff he always has. Did he start off slow against the Browns? Yeah, he did. But that we had to expect that. That was going to happen. He looked fine against the Bears last week. Or not the Bears this week. He looked fine against the Vikings last week. And the Vikings are a really good defense. And I think he looked fine. He had 31 touches. That's the thing. 31 touches, 90% of the running back snaps through the first 2 weeks. That includes the first week where he had less. Listen, the Vikings are a good run D, and he had 31 touches against them. And he still posted fine numbers. With David Johnson out, that changes the landscape of fantasy football. If you have Bell in a PPR league now, you have what I believe is high and away the best running back. And now with no DJ, that's even more of an advantage. Yes, Zeke's going to be great in standard. Kareem Hunt's going to be great. We've got volume kings behind them. Jay Ajayi is going to be great. Melvin Gordon's going to be fine as long as he's falling into the end zone. I don't think he's good at all. I think Melvin Gordon's trash. But he's going to be falling into the end zone. He's going to be getting receptions. He's going to be fine in fantasy. But Le'Veon Bell is far and away the best running back. So if you can get him as a buy low right now, you need to be doing it. I know there's a lot of Le'Veon Bell owners out there that are freaking out. He's got, what, like 20 PPR points through 2 weeks when he was averaging like 25 per week. And he already faced the Browns. They're freaking out. And the Bears this week represent a matchup that is like is was fine. They just lost a really good linebacker, so it's gonna be even worse. You'd attack them with tight ends. I don't know Jesse James's status. They usually take out wide receiver ones, but Antonio Brown's kind of the exception to the rule usually. It's not like they have anyone, any shadow corner that can like shut him down. Like then I'd say maybe be concerned about Antonio Brown. But I mean, I'm rocking and rolling with Antonio Brown if I got him this week. I don't really know. You can never really predict the Martavis Bryant weeks. I say that on the road, it's less likely to happen, be a monster week for him. But I really think there's a chance that this is the only portion of the year that you can get Le'Veon Bell at his, I mean, at his price, like 8,800. I'm playing him in cash most likely, and you can read the cash game article I have on the website. I'm writing it right now. I'm like halfway done it. But when you're listening to this, it's probably uploaded. I don't really know, but listen, the guy's a monster. If you can get a guy who's getting 30 touches at the value he has right now, when owners are freaking out at a guy who's gotten 30 touches, like that's not usually something you can say. You usually can't say this guy's getting 30 touches, I'm concerned. But they're concerned. So trade for Le'Veon Bell. I think he's an absolute steal right now. That, my friends, is going to include the first solo podcast that we've got on the channel. Again, if you want to listen to this, just the audio version on iTunes, go to iTunes, type in Fantasy Football Advice Podcast. You'll find the podcast where we just upload all the podcasts, like the channel. I don't even really know. I don't know nothing about iTunes. But you'll find like whatever the channel thing is called for iTunes. And you can subscribe to that if you want. You can always get the podcast as we upload them, because throughout the season, we're just going to upload them at the same time to YouTube and to iTunes. I'll have to convert this to MP3 and stuff. So it'll be a little while, probably like Friday afternoon when this is uploaded. But if you just want to listen to it, I know I listen to a lot of podcasts when I work out and I go to the gym. Just because obviously I don't want to use like a bunch of data for YouTube. So just listen to the podcast on iTunes. But that is the end of this one. Hope you did enjoy. If you did, how about we hit that like button? Subscribe if you are new to the channel. Thanks for watching.